Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by Palo Verde Homes. Palo Verde Homes is a premier custom and speculative home builder in El Paso, Texas, and southern New Mexico. Their commitment to you is to offer the best in design, materials, customer service, workmanship, and quality at competitive market prices. Palo Verde Homes is poised to add luxury and distinctive touches to every new home that they build and raise the standard of excellence that other new home builders will be sure to follow. They are very proud of the new homes that they build, and that shows in their quality, workmanship, and finish. Contact them at 915-584-9090, on their website, paloverdehome.com, or at any of their model home locations throughout El Paso. Palo Verde Homes, what coming home should feel like. All right, guys, episode 3. How many of you thought we'd make it this far? I mean, you know, you try and put something together, you try and get it going, and by the way, we got some stats. We got, actually, there's a lot to be thankful for today. So we run our podcast through Anchor. So it's an online hosting service, and it gives you the feedback on the listeners. And let me tell you, it's fairly new, not a lot, but we are in the multiple hundreds of listeners. So I want to thank every single person that's taken time out week one, week two to listen to our podcast. And the feedback that we've received, we've gotten a ton of emails. We've got a lot of people that are recommending other people to be on it. We've got some people that want to participate in it. And we're going to reach out to you guys. Don't worry. We're going to try and put, you know, something on the calendar and get you guys going. Sincerely, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody that's taken time to listen to the shenanigans that we're putting together. This week we got something a little special. So this week we made a trip to the Festival of Homes. There was a realtor tour at the Festival of Homes, and we talked to a couple of people out there, asked for some feedback of the Festival of Homes, and then got them to rank their top 3 homes. Those of you that want to keep track, add them up. It's about, it's a handful of people, 20, 30 people, something like that. And we had a lot of fun with that. A lot of different people. See if you guys recognize everybody. See if you guys know everybody.
Here you go. Ready? Hi, this is Mario Ayala with Point Homes, and I'm going to ask myself a couple of questions, and I'm going to answer them as well. Question number one. If Point doesn't throw a party, is there a party? Answer, no. Question number two. I'm just playing. Top 3 houses in the Festival of Homes. No specific order. But Point Homes can be number one.
Pacifica, Icon, and Point.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. What's your name?
Berta Ramirez.
And what do you think of the Festival of Homes right now?
It's amazing. Beautiful homes. Very modern. It's gorgeous.
All right. What are your top 3 homes? Ooh, in no specific order.
Okay. No specific order. I love the Bella Vista home, of course. Point never disappoints. And the one that was very, very surprising, I was pleasantly surprised when I saw it, was Pacifica. That house was so pretty. It was so cozy. It was just, I loved it.
All right. What's your name?
What?
What's this? What's your name?
David.
David, what do you think of the Festival of Homes right now?
I'm hungry right now, but it's really good. It's really hot. You guys should have put some misters all around.
Tips for the next one. Give me your top 3 homes right now in no specific order.
Bella Vista, Icon, and Palo Verde.
No. All right, so tell everybody your name.
Nadim Hajar.
And you're with?
Point Homes.
All right. What is your favorite thing out of the festival this year?
Point Homes home.
Okay. And besides Point Homes?
Point Homes.
Okay. What are your top 3 homes this year in no specific order?
Point Homes, Point Homes, Point Homes.
All right. So tell everybody your name.
My name is Luis Carlos Perez.
And you're with?
I'm with ERA, Sellers Buyers Real Estate.
All right. What's your favorite part of the festival so far?
The festival, what I like so far is just that builders come out and they put out their best products. It's for everybody to see.
All right. And what are your top three homes in no specific order?
No specific order. Top three would probably be Big, Palo Verde, and Bella Homes.
Okay. All right, tell everybody your name.
Lisa Ramos.
And you're with?
ERA Sellers and Buyers.
All right. What's your favorite part of the festival so far?
The tacos.
Were they good?
They're all right.
They were all right. It's your favorite part, but they were all right.
Yeah, they're all right.
All right. What are your top three homes right now in no specific order?
Bic.
Okay.
I can't remember the one that's right across.
Bella Vista?
Bella Vista.
Okay.
And Icon.
An Icon. All right, tell everybody your name.
Daniela. Delgado.
And you're with?
Farmers Insurance, Yvonne Ruiz.
All right. What do you think of the festival this year?
I mean, it's nice. I like the area, West Side.
In no specific order.
No specific order?
Yeah.
Palo Verde, that's my favorite. No, that's my favorite.
All right.
And then Bella Vista.
Okay.
And then Palo Verde. That's it.
All right. Tell everybody your name.
My name is Alonso Rodriguez, aka Flaco.
All right. And you're with?
I'm Keller Williams.
All right. Tell me what your favorite thing of the festival is this year.
I like the variety in terms of the way the house were distributed. I like the way that it kind of feels like one street and then you find yourself walking around and in a dead end. That's pretty cool. I haven't been to one like that in a long time. The styles were very different. Not everybody's going modern, not everybody's going Tuscany, contemporary, whatever you want to call it. So I like that everybody went their own separate ways this year.
All right. Give me your top three homes in no specific order.
Of course, I've got to say Palo Verde because of the person interviewing me as we speak. And then I probably say Bella Vista and Icon did a pretty good job. Well, no, never mind, not Icon. The master bedroom's a bit too sexy for me. So then we'll call it Point. So Point. Palo Verde, Bella Vista, and Point.
And Point, all right.
Whatever comes to mind.
All right, tell everybody your name.
Julio Ayala.
And you're with?
Julio Ayala Point Homes 2016 Builder of the Year, number one.
All right. Tell me what your favorite thing of the festival has been so far.
One of the the best thing of the festival is that everybody shows off pretty much, from Point Homes to Palo Verde to Bella. Everybody shows off of what they're capable of and just let everybody know that there is a market for this luxury lifestyle.
All right. Now give me your top three homes in no specific order.
Specifically, number one, Point Homes, number two, Bella, and number three, Palo Verde.
Alright.
We're both gonna come out?
Yeah, we're both gonna come out. Okay. Ready? Alright.
Like a video or recording?
No, it's a recording.
Okay.
Alright, tell everybody your name.
My name is Alfonso Fuentes.
And you're with?
Point Homes. I'm a realtor with the Mario Ayala Real Estate Team.
Alright, tell me what your favorite thing has been about the festival.
My favorite thing about the festival is that I love how every single builder brings their A game and builds their best home. But to be honest with you, I think that Point brought the best game out here today.
All right. All right. Now give me your top three homes in no specific order.
No specific order, Point Homes for sure. Then I would go Bella Vista.
Okay.
And then I would go Pacifica.
All right. Now lastly, tell everybody what's in your cup.
Right now, my cup has a little bit of Malibu, a little bit of pineapple, a little bit of love.
All right, tell everybody your name.
Jesse Acevedo.
And you're with?
Thrive Realty.
All right, tell everybody your favorite thing about the Festival of Homes this year.
I think they're all amazing. I know the Point Home is pretty popping, so is the Bella Vista Home.
All right, bueno, so give me your top three homes in no specific order.
I haven't seen all of them yet, but Bella Vista, Point Homes, maybe the Icon. I don't know.
Maybe the Icon. Wait, I'll get with you when you go see it. Yeah. All right. So tell everybody your name.
I'm Ernie Medrano.
With?
I'm with CMG Mortgage.
All right. What's your favorite thing of the festival this year?
You know what? All the builders really amped up. Very different from the prior years, just moving forward, and there's some just great products. So it's like very surprising to see how custom it all looks.
Right.
Yeah.
What are your top three homes in no specific order?
Okay, no specific order. I'm going to say Point. I'm going to say Palo Verde. And I'm going to say, who are they? Icon.
An Icon?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so tell everybody your name.
Heather Harmston.
With?
Home Pros Real Estate Group.
Woo! All right. What's your favorite thing about the festival this year?
Oh my God, the beautiful amenities, the design work. It's like gorgeous.
Okay. Now give me your top three homes in no specific order.
Okay. I'm not being paid by any builder, by the way, to say this. Bella Vista, numero uno.
Okay.
Pacifica, that kitchen is killer. And I will say Point.
And Point Homes?
I'm here, yeah.
There you go. All right, tell everybody your name.
Art Cruz.
With?
JPR.
Okay. What's your favorite thing about the festival this year?
Pretty much just seeing what the builders have to offer at their top level.
Okay.
All the upgrades, everything that's custom, and overall, just see what they have to offer to the clients.
Okay. What are your top three homes this year?
Palo Verde, Bella Homes,
all right,
and Fortune.
And Fortune Homes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, tell everybody your names.
Enrique Aguirre with Clearview.
Laura Hernandez with Clearview.
All right. And what's your favorite thing of the festival this year?
My favorite thing so far has been, I think everyone's come up with something totally different, and the new fixtures, the more modern fixtures, that's what I like.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm along the same way. I like the different floor plans that they came out with, not too similar to the previous ones, and all the new amenities that they keep adding. All the creativity.
Okay. Now give me your top three homes in no specific order. Just your top three.
On the spot like that?
Right on the spot.
That's a lot. Point, Icon, and Fortune.
Point, Icon, and Fortune.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Enrique?
I like Icon, Fortune, and Palo Verde.
Woo!
Were my three favorite ones.
Yeah. I'm just asking some questions. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. You're in the shade and you're already sweating. All right.
We're in the garage. It's very hot, actually.
Tell to everybody your name.
Brenda Aguirre with Rocky Mountain.
All right. Tell everybody what your favorite thing about the festival has been so far.
The houses.
What else about the festival?
You mean the people that are here?
The people that are here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Give me your top three homes in no specific order.
Bella Vista.
Okay.
Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Palo Verde.
All right. Tell everybody your name.
Victoria Hahn.
With?
Bundle B Insurance.
All right. Tell me your favorite thing about the Festival of Homes this year.
Oh, all the massive bathrooms and kitchens. They're gorgeous.
All right. And then give me your top three homes in no specific order.
I haven't seen them all, but so far, in no specific order.
No specific order.
Palo Verde.
Okay.
Point.
Okay.
And Big.
All right. All right, tell everybody your name.
My name is Adam Hagen.
And you're with?
I'm with Rocky Mountain Mortgage Company.
All right. Tell me your favorite thing about the festival so far.
Oh, man, my favorite thing about the festival has got to be, all the wonderful people that I've come across out here. We've got some wonderful salespeople out here, some incredible salespeople pushing some of the most incredible product I've seen in a very long time out here. It's fabulous.
All right. Now give me your top three homes in no particular order.
My top three homes in no particular order. You are really putting me on the spot here, brother.
Uh-huh.
I was very impressed with what Carlos did with Point Homes. He's got a really great looking product over there. Bella was very impressive as well. And of course, I could never forget to praise Edwards over here. Lalo sure knows how to build a fine home. So, yeah, I think those are my top three. And if I can tie with somebody, somebody's going to tie over here with my friends at Palo Verde.
Right on, for there sure. You go. All right, so tell everybody your name.
My name is Jonathan Limon.
And you're with?
I'm with Summit Realty.
All right. Tell me your favorite thing about the Festival of Homes this year.
My favorite thing about the Festival of Homes, if I'm not mistaken, I think we have a little bit more selection, a little bit more wow factor with all these homes.
Okay. Now give me your top three homes.
Okay.
In no particular order, just your top three.
Okay. Icon.
Okay.
Point.
All right.
And who's my third? I'm gonna go with Palo Verde.
Palo Verde?
Mm-hmm.
All right, tell everybody your name.
Fernie Gonzalez.
And you're with
Home Pros
Mario Ayala Real Estate Group.
All right. Tell everybody what your favorite thing about the festival has been so far.
So my favorite thing has been the amount of homes available to see and all the different styles and designs that everyone is showcasing.
Okay. Now tell everybody your top three homes. No particular order, just your top three.
Sure. So Bella Vista, Icon, and I would say as of right now, Point Homes.
Point Homes?
Yep.
All right. All right, tell everybody your name.
Franco Briseño.
And you're with?
ERA Sellers and Buyers Real Estate and Edwards Homes.
Okay, tell everybody what your favorite thing about the festival has been so far.
A lot of very nice backyards. Everybody did a great job with the backyards and of course the new finishings. Everybody's changing the cabinets game and it's looking really nice and sharp.
Okay, now tell everybody your top three homes. No particular order, just your top three.
Edwards Homes, Bella Vista, and Point.
And Point? Right, tell everybody your name.
Laurencia Baca Duncan.
And you're with?
I am with Edwards Home, ERA Sellers and Buyers.
Okay, tell everybody what your favorite thing about the festival has been so far.
I've really enjoyed the houses. I like the high ceilings, the features, the entry, the doors.
Okay, now tell everybody your top three homes. No particular order, just top three.
Edwards Homes, of course.
Okay.
And then Bella Vista.
Okay.
And Bic, I was impressed with Bic.
And with the Bic plan.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, tell everybody your name.
Luis Acosta.
You're with?
ERA Sellers and Buyers.
Okay. What's your favorite thing about the festival this year?
Favorite thing this year? Living spaces. Living space in each home.
The living room, the sizes or what?
Yeah, sizes and just the decorations, the pretty much everything that they did with all the, you know, as far as the tile, the paint colors.
Okay. Give everybody your top three homes in no particular order.
Top three would be Bella Vista, Edwards, and Icon.
Bella Vista, Edwards, and Icon.
Yes.
All right, tell everybody your name.
Luis Acosta.
You're with?
ERA Sellers and Buyers.
Okay. What's your favorite thing about the festival this year?
Favorite thing this year? Living spaces. Living space in each home.
The living room, the sizes or what?
Yeah, sizes and just the decorations, the pretty much everything that they did with all the, you know, as far as the tile, the paint colors.
Okay. Give everybody your top three homes in no particular order.
Top three would be Bella Vista, Edwards, and Icon.
Bella Vista, Edwards, and Icon.
Yes.
What is it about?
All right. Tell everybody your name.
Hi. My name is Arian Wallace.
And you're with?
Edwards Homes. ERA. Sellers and Buyers.
Okay. Tell everybody what your favorite thing about the festival has been this year.
My favorite thing about the festival this year is that all the houses are really nice, especially okay. Edwards.
Especially Edwards?
Yes.
Okay. Very now tell nice. Give everybody your top three homes in no particular order.
Edwards is number one.
All right.
And I like the Bella Homes over here.
Okay.
And I like Point Homes.
And the Point Home.
Right. Yes.
All right, tell everybody your name.
My name is Luis Marinas.
You got your cheering squad
I
here.
I have to say it like louder. My name is Luis Marinas.
And you're with?
And I'm with ERA. ERA Sales and Buyers.
All right. Tell everybody what your favorite thing about the festival has been this year.
Favorite thing about the festival is every unique home you can find and what every builder does to accommodate to their own style.
Okay. Now tell everybody what your top three homes are in no particular order.
No particular order. I'll go and go with Edwards Homes, Point Homes, and Fortune.
And Fortune.
And Fortune.
All right. Okay. Tell everybody your name.
Guadalupe Sanchez.
And you're with?
ERA Sellers and Buyers.
All right. Tell everybody what your favorite thing about the festival has been this year.
Actually, the people. The public that we're getting, buyers and sellers, not only realtors, but buyers and sellers.
Right. Okay. And tell everybody what your top three homes are in no particular order.
Bic Homes, okay. Fortune Homes, and Edwards Homes.
All right. All right. Tell everybody your name.
Armando Guzman.
With?
Commerce Home Mortgage.
Okay. Tell everybody your favorite thing about the festival this year.
Just a commodity of seeing everybody out here and having a good time and, you know, checking out different products.
Okay. Now give everybody your top three homes in no particular order.
Palo Verde, Pacifica, and Bella Vista.
Bella Vista?
Yeah.
All right, tell everybody your name.
Edgar Garcia.
With?
Home Pros Real Estate Group.
All right. Tell everybody your favorite thing about the festival this year.
Definitely Bella Vista Homes really shined this year for me, as well as all the other builders out here, but definitely Bella Vista took it.
Okay. Give everybody your top three builders in no particular order.
Okay. Bella Vista, Palo Verde, and definitely Edwards.
Edwards?
Yeah.
All right.
And if you guys did not make it out to the Festival of Homes, there is a parade of homes coming up next month. Super, super fun. A lot of new floor plans, a lot of new features. You know, the biggest, the baddest. You know, these guys put together some amazing homes. So if you didn't get a chance to go this month, you know, too bad, so sad. Oh well, move on. Go to next month. The Parade of Homes. It's going to be, I believe, in Rio Valley. I don't have the dates in front of me, but I'm pretty sure you can, you know, jump on Facebook or Google it or something, and you guys can pull them up. This week's episode is with a friend of mine, friend of yours, Eddie Flores. Eddie Flores is a loan officer at Commerce Mortgage, but Eddie also has, Eddie is the embodiment of an entrepreneur. You're going to hear his story. You're going to hear how he started. You're going to hear how he went from very little to what to me seems to be, you know, quite a nice book of business. If you know Eddie, you know that he is also the president of the local hipster association, or at least some people say. But he's got a really interesting story. I hope you guys enjoy it. Take a listen and let us know what you think. Yeah, and then I give it to him, and then he does his thing, and he adds the other couple things.
Damn.
So, have you ever done one of these?
No, my first one.
Ever?
Ever.
Don't you know people then?
Yeah. Well, they asked me to be on one that's coming up.
Okay.
So that should be coming out soon. I don't know when, but I've done like articles in the newspaper.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to see them?
Articles in the newspaper. Oh, hey, look at this.
I'm going to hang them one day in my office. I just haven't.
Student entrepreneur builds recipe for success. Oh, this is the Modern Hookah thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that came out in the UTEP Prospector.
Eddie Flores, 28. How old are you now?
32.
32 years old.
Yeah.
When did you open up Modern Hookah? 28?
Yeah.
How did you get into that?
So with that, I always wanted to open a business. So long story, I opened my first business with some other group of people. And
what was the first business?
It was called The Rusted Gun. It was a bar where Ode is at.
Where?
Ode Brewery on Mesa.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I invested with some guys who had owned a sushi place over here on the east side, over there in the Saragossa Plex. And long story short, a lot of us put in some money, and within about 4 months, the business just collapsed because it was a lot of money got stolen and just a lot of things happened.
Like internally?
Yeah, yeah. You know, from one individual. We never even got like corporation papers. At that time, I was only 24.
Okay.
So I lost about $15,000 in that deal, just out of nowhere, you know, and never really recouped from that. But I'd always wanted to open a business, and I had been at the Garden with a buddy one time, and we had knew some guy who owned a hookah lounge on Mesa called, it was called Sumatra.
Okay.
It was on Mesa and Rio Grande, where Prickly Elder is now.
Okay.
And so he had wanted to sell it to us one year. And because he was moving to Albuquerque, and when we approached him, we had agreed to $25,000. And then, long story short, he turns around and says, no, somebody else wants to buy it for $40,000 unless you can match the offer,
mm-hmm.
which at that point, it was like, no.
Right.
And at that point, my mom was going to get a home equity loan to help me get the business at the time. So long story short, that didn't happen. And didn't get the loan or nothing. So one day, we're partying at the Garden downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it said space for lease, a sign. So I texted the number, and he said, yeah, meet me there tomorrow, and we'll talk about it. So I go, but it was a basement. So
it was a basement space.
Yeah. And the stairs were all broken, and like there was no way I was gonna be able to build anything down there. There was no air vents, no nothing. Like, so then he asked me, like, what are you trying to do? And I said, well, I wanted to open a little hookah lounge. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, we've actually been wanting to put hookah on our patio. We never know who's done it though.
Right.
And I go, oh, well, I'm interested. You know, he's like, well, can you start next week? At this point, I never even owned a hookah, to be honest with you.
Right.
I smoked one, but I've never owned one. So then I was like, can you give me 2 weeks? And he goes, okay, 2 weeks. So he goes, but try to get me your logo as quickly as you can. At mm-hmm. this point, I didn't even have a logo. So I had to reach out to a buddy of mine who did logos. And I said, hey, I need a logo like now. And I never even had a license, a tobacco license, like nothing, dude. So
just a logo. I just want a logo.
Yeah. I don't even know
if I'm going to be able to sell it. I just,
like, yeah, I was logo. Just like, hey, I'm starting this business in 2 weeks and I don't even know like where to begin. So I knew there was a hookah lounge store in Las Cruces that sold hookahs.
Right.
So I said, hey, I'm going to go hit up that store and see what's going on. And I go to the store and I tell the girl, hey, I need to buy 10 hookahs. So at this point, let me rewind back. I'm in college. What I ended up doing was pulling out my student loan, and I used that to open up the hookah lounge okay. at the garden.
Okay.
So
this is UTEP. You were going to UTEP?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It took me like 6 years to get a associate's degree at community.
And but then, you got it.
But I got it, you know. And then I transferred, you know. Well, during that time, I was going to UTEP. I mean, I wasn't really a good college student, to be honest with you. I was a very bad one. But I always wanted to have a business. So at that point, I pulled out that student loan, and I used that money, and I drove to that store in Las Cruces thinking, hey, I'm going to buy 10 hookahs and a bunch of tobacco and call it a day.
Right.
So I go to the store, and the girl tells me, like, you're crazy. We can't sell you 10. Like, we don't even have 10 to sell you. She goes, but the guy that owns the store owns a warehouse in Albuquerque, and he might sell them to you. I said, okay, cool. Well, can you give him my number? So she goes, yeah. So like, I'm walking out of the store in Las Cruces, and like, not even by the time I get to the truck, the guy's calling me. And he's like, hey, Eddie, this is Robert from Fresh Picks. You know, I understand you want to buy a bunch of hookahs. And I go, yeah. And he's like, yeah, well, our store's up here in Albuquerque. So I go, at this point, I don't even have a seller's like license to sell stuff. I don't even know I should be saying this. But
I mean, I don't think the FBI is going to be listening to this. So it's all right.
Okay, good. So I said, yeah. He said, you know what? I need to buy a bunch of hookahs. I said, but you know what? I don't have any of my paperwork with me. Like, can you work with me? And he goes, are you paying cash or card? And I go, cash. So I go, well, cash is king, you know? So he goes, all right. So then at that point, I just straight drove to Albuquerque. Like, from Las Cruces, I just drove up to Albuquerque.
Uh-huh.
And met the dude, went to his warehouse, and he's got this warehouse where they sell like hookahs, smoking supplies, just all sorts of stuff. And yeah, spent a bunch of money, drove back down to El Paso that same day. I ended up just from there on, I just started watching YouTube videos, and I started like getting the concept of it more down as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, obviously, my buddy got my logo done, my initial one. And then it just started.
Which is the same one that you have now?
No, it was a different one.
Oh, it was a different one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a different one. So I had a different logo then. So my buddies that do my branding, they're the guys that do the branding for like Wing Daddies and a lot of big local companies. So they pay a lot of attention to branding. So
right.
They taught me a lot about that. And
so originally the hookah started at
the garden.
At the garden.
Yeah.
Right. Now, hookah, like hookah's the actual machine, right? Like the, it's, you're smoking tobacco.
Yeah, so you're smoking flavored tobacco. Depending where you go, they're going to call it a shisha, they're going to call it a hookah, depending, but U.S. mostly we call it a hookah for the most part.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just flavored tobacco filtered in water. The smoke gets filtered to the water, then you just inhale it and you exhale, so.
So it's tobacco, so you're smoking.
Yeah.
It's just like a cigarette.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, the cigarette does have a lot more chemicals in it than what the tobacco would have, because the tobacco is just the actual tobacco leaf with glycerin, flavoring, and that's about it, and nicotine.
Okay.
So, like with cigarettes, they have a lot of carcinogens and things like that as well. So, it's a little bit different.
So, it's a little... So, it's better.
I mean, they're both bad in essence, you know, but, I mean, drinking alcohol is bad too, but we still do it.
Yeah, I guess.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, so it just started on the weekends, and then gradually, I mean, I was at the garden for maybe about 2.5 years, maybe three, I mean, going through the summers, the winters, I mean, every Friday, Saturday, you really got to think about it. There was also pool parties that we would attend.
Right.
A major DJs that would come. So it was cool. I got to meet a lot of business owners, a lot of people in different industries that, you know, now I think helped my career now, because obviously I have a lot more friendships that I built throughout the years. Then eventually when the Garden was phasing out, when it was losing its steam, the guys that owned the Garden actually owned the Time Mondesillo development. Mm-hmm. So when all that was going on, we sat down and we talked about it, and they asked me if I was ready to open a store, which at that point I partnered with my cousin, and then we opened up the store.
And that's where you're at now. Mm-hmm. How long have you been there now?
We'll be 5 years next month.
Wait, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And I still haven't been there.
Right? I know.
I need to go.
Maybe you can make it to the 5 year.
Are you having one?
Yeah.
When is it?
It's August 1st. It's a Thursday.
Like this? Like, yeah, in like a couple of days?
Like next week.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? What are you going to have?
So we'll have hookah specials. We're giving away a bunch of shirts, hats, alcohol. So it's BYOB, so you could bring your own alcohol whenever you go.
Okay.
What's crazy, though, is that the law is changing come next in September, where now it's 21 and up to smoke legally in Texas. So you can't even buy cigarettes.
Oh, really?
At gas stations unless you're 21 and up.
Okay.
Come September.
Okay.
Unless you're military. That's unless you're military, you could be under 21 and buy cigarettes and tobacco.
Why?
I have no idea.
You can buy cigarettes and tobacco if you're in the military under
21.
Over 18.
Yeah, at least 18 and right. Over. Correct.
18, okay.
But anybody that's not in the military has to be 21 and up now to buy cigarettes, go into a smoke shop, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting. And so we might consider putting a liquor license in the hookah lounge now.
Okay.
You know, to compete, obviously, with not being able to have that younger demographic. And then we have Model Alarm next to us, and then Tin Man as well. So they're both pretty well-established bars in town that we can hopefully help feed off and make some more sales off that.
Right. Wow. Okay. So August 1st. There's a thing going on there too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's like a pop-up shop.
Yeah, something like that.
Like a vintage pop-up shop going on that day at Electric Cactus. That's
right. So apparently there's like a record store in there too?
Yeah.
What else is in that, in the Montecito?
Man, there's a bunch of cool stuff now. So there's obviously us, there's Tin Man. I don't know if you ever heard of Chuco Relic.
Yes.
So they do a lot of cool, like, local art. They obviously sell a lot of local artist stuff that they make t-shirts, print shop, print work, things like that. There's also another one called Le Trendy, and it's Sadie Monica Vela, and she makes a lot of homemade goods. So she makes like little, what would you say they are, like coasters, paintings, and they're all made by her. So it's pretty cool. Okay. There's a cigar shop in there now. A little boutique. What else? There's Hillside Coffee. And the record store.
Wow.
So
there's a lot of stuff going on in there.
Yeah. And then you got Topgolf right down the street. You got Alamo Draft House across the street from that. So hopefully that new water park they're building right in that little area will be pretty good for us. So
how does that affect you guys at all? The businesses, like all the homes that they're building, the water, like that whole thing. Does it?
I think it's helped. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're question development sometimes, but I think, I mean, our business has grown gradually throughout the years, and I think a lot of it has to do with just being that there's more in that area. There's more people going there now,
right? You know,
naturally. So,
what's the next thing for your hookah?
Well,
are you looking to expand other places, other shops?
Yeah, east, yeah, we're hoping. Well, now with this new law, it's kind of put a stop on what we're doing. We're about to sign a lease for another 3 years. Mm-hmm. So that's always scary because you never know if you're going to make it those next three. But I signed a 5 year initially and we made it to 5 years. So I don't know why I'm worried about three. But yeah, I mean, we had wanted to do an East Side one and we were looking at it. We already were in the works of looking in locations for it, but that's when the law went in effect. So I really want to do one in Las Cruces. I think there's a big need for us out there because we do get a lot of people from there, and I think our brand would work out there. And then we've been approached to open one in Midland. So
Midland?
Yeah, Midland.
Okay.
So I think the brand has potential to make it out there. It's just more me doing more work now to see what it would take to make it work in those other areas as well, and financials as well. So
what? You were born here in El Paso.
Yeah, born and raised.
Where'd you graduate from?
Montwood. Montwood High School.
Montwood, class of
2005.
Jesus.
Yep.
2005. How old are you now?
32.
That's right. 32. Wow. Okay. So you graduate Montwood, you go to college, you start the hookah. At what point did you get into mortgage?
Okay, so actually, I was in insurance for a long time. So my dad owns a nationwide insurance agency.
Okay.
He got into insurance in about 2003. He used to be a district manager of Pep Boys for about 20 years. He managed over 100 stores, and he just wanted to quit. He was tired of being in the automotive industry. So then he got into insurance. And then in college, I was like, this wasn't working for me. And I told my dad I wanted to work for him, which was a good and bad thing. More good than bad, though. And I started working for him. And the funny thing was, like, everybody that used to work at his office hated me because I was his son. It was that normal, like, he thinks he's privileged. You know, so I had to, at that point, work harder to get into that. And eventually, I became the office manager, you know. Of course, and then everybody thinks again it's because it's your dad. Yes. But at that point, I was outselling all the people that worked there, actually. And I felt, obviously, it's my dad. This is my business, maybe one day. So I did insurance for about 9 years.
This is insurance sales, right?
Sales, yeah. Okay. I managed the office to home, auto, life business. And eventually, me and my dad just started not seeing eye to eye. And then I was like, I tried to get a raise, and I didn't get it. And then my dad shows up the next week with a new truck. So then I was like, oh, man. Like,
there's your raise?
This isn't... No, I was mad. So then I did like what any normal person does when they're at a job and they're mad. They go on Indeed.com and then they start looking. So I actually had submitted my resume to ADP.
Okay.
And then ADP calls me and they're like, hey, you want a job? And I said, well, yeah. You know? So I take the job at ADP. It's $21 an hour, and I'm like, I'm in El Paso. That's really good money.
Right.
8 to 5.
What year is this? When did you start?
Two years ago.
When did you start with your dad?
I was with him for 9 years. So I would say in 2007, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. And then
2007, you start with your dad. You're there for 9 years.
Yeah, about 2016 is when I left.
He buys a truck.
I leave. Oh, because keep in mind, my dad had a Range Rover prior to this truck. So he had a Range Rover, sells that, and then gets a brand new Denali, like 2500, like the black with the extended
package. You at least drive it before you left?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Did he brand it?
No.
No?
No.
He didn't put anything on? Oh, no. Wow. All right.
But so then, yeah, I leave there. I go to ADP. And during that time, I was still already realizing that I was burnt out of the insurance business. You know, and I was like, I wanted something new. I wanted to get into something else, but I didn't know what. And I remember being there and seeing a lot of requests for insurance through certain mortgage companies back in the day, you know. And I had reached out to a friend. I said, hey, you know, if I wanted to get into real estate, what would you do, you know? And she told me, she was like, well, you can become an agent, you can become a lender. You know, they're both... And at that point, I had a lot of realtor friends on Facebook. So I said, well, I don't want to compete with them, really knowing what the industry was like.
Right.
And I said, well, let me get into the lending side. It seems a little bit more, I like numbers, you know, I like the financial part of a lot of things and knowing the back end of stuff. So
right.
That's when I said, I took my test to become a lender. The first time I failed, and then I got a 53, and you need a 75 to pass.
You got a 53 the first time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then,
You remember the score?
Yeah. I remember every one of these moments, man. I remember them.
All right.
And at this time, I'm still working at ADP, you know, so it's okay. I got a great paying job, but I'm starting to hate ADP. And I'm hating ADP because I live on the east side, and ADP is about a 45-minute to an hour drive.
All the way to the west side. Yeah, right over Trans Mountain.
Yeah. And every morning is like something going on over there. There's a semi-truck stalled, slow traffic. And ADP, you have to badge in, and you're clocking in, and, you know, I just, it's not for me, you know. Right. But I love the pay, you know, it's a great job. So I'm like, I got to pass this test. So then try two comes out, and I fail it again. And okay. I get a 70. So I'm like, ah.
You're inching your way there.
I'm inching there.
You're almost there.
But the thing is that after the third try, if you don't pass it, you got to wait 6 months to take it again. And keep in mind, I'm paying $110 each time. You know, I'm taking this test. So I ended up getting this study guide on off Facebook.
Okay.
So I Google, you know, mortgage study guide for some reason. I don't know why I looked at it on Facebook, and there was this one that I found, and there were a lot of YouTube videos, which helped me a lot because I just hate reading at the time. So I get it. It was like $300, and here comes Try 3. Try 3 comes out, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is it. Like, if I don't pass this test, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there, and I don't even want to click, like, finished, you know? So I click it, and, like, my life's, like, pounding. Think it's over. I get a 75.
Right on the dot?
Right on the dot. Dude, I started crying in my seat, like, right then and there, because I knew, like, oh, my God, I did it.
Right.
Because if not, it was a six-month waiting period. And I knew, okay, I got to be at ADP for six more months.
Right.
So at that point, I was like, damn, I did it. You know, I got it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So then I got licensed, and I'm like, okay, well, what's next, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when I had reached out to work, my boss now, Steven Sepulveda.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know him at the time. I had asked my friend, her name was Daisy, and I had reached out to her, and I said, hey, well, who's a good lender in town? At that point, she said, you know, Steve's a pretty popular guy. I think you guys will work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know him at the time, so I just sent him a message on Facebook.
Okay.
So I just said, hey, my name's Eddie Flotis. You know, I own a local business, but I passed my test to become a mortgage lender. Like, you know, is there any possibility of me working for you?
Right.
So he goes, yeah, come to my office. Like, come in 2 weeks and we'll meet. I'm out of town. And I said, okay, cool. So then I came, met him, introduced me to David Vasquez,
mm-hmm.
which David Vasquez has played a pretty huge role in my career up to now as far as teaching me a lot of things. So,
right.
But at this point, I was still working at ADP, so trying to come and learn and trying to be over there just wasn't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went cold turkey and quit ADP.
Just like
one
that.
Day, I just was like, hey, you know what? Like, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something else I want to do in my life, and ADP is not it.
Right.
So they were, like, shocked, too, because, like, most people don't leave that place. And, yeah. So
People don't leave that place? Oh, because of the pay.
Yeah, because it's just great pay.
Right.
I mean, great benefits. They got a cafeteria inside. They got, like, a little gas station, like, type stores inside. So you could just walk into that little store and buy, like, chips, gum. And there's no cash attendant, so you just walk in and pay for it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. They got a gym there at ADP, on-site doctor. So if you need it, like, they can actually prescribe you meds there at ADP if you need them.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool little place.
What does ADP do? What is it?
So they have, like, payroll services. They have insurance benefits. I mean, they have a bunch of little different departments out there.
What did you do there when you were there?
I did health insurance benefits for companies in California.
Mm.
So there was different programs, and when the policies would renew, I would call a company and say, hey, you know, you have 28 employees. We need to make sure all their insurances are in line.
Okay.
Or if you have any new employees, we need to add them on to your new program. So.
Okay. So you go in, you quit, and then you come work for...
At that point, we were...
For New American.
For New American, yeah. New American for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Things changed, and then I moved over to a company called Pearl.
Okay.
And, I mean, at this point then, there, I mean, lending to me what I learned in as far as studying and for the test is not what you kind of... What you do when you actually become a loan officer. It's kind of a whole different thing.
So... Let's talk about the loan. What's been the... How long have you... It's been 2 years, right?
About a year and eight months.
About a year and 8 months. So mm-hmm. what's the toughest part so far about being a loan officer?
That's interesting. I would say mostly about building a good relationship with realtors, because there's so much competition, I think. You know, and everybody wants to provide the best value, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
And showcasing that, I think, is a little bit harder nowadays because of social media. And I think it's harder because, you know, people have their groups. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, I guess it can be a little clicky at times. Yeah.
But I mean, it's not a bad thing because I think everybody's always open to new at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So And I think it'll get there for myself. I think I'll grow and get better as I go. I mean, as anybody does.
What do you think is the biggest misconception when it comes to loan officers?
The biggest misconception. That we all know everything. You know, a lot of times there's things that even, you know, I see a lot of seasoned loan officers that don't know about. You know, there's a lot of guidelines and a lot of, and the laws and rules change. You know, they changed every, you know, like change every day sometimes. You know, so what might have worked 8 years ago is not working now because obviously when the crash happened, you know, a lot of things now protect the buyer a lot more than what they did several years ago. So a lot of old school, you know, loan officers, I think, you know, it changes, you know, although they do have a lot more expertise and probably a lot more, you know, work history behind them where they can give a lot better guidance than probably what I would have been a new guy. So that's why now I try to get involved in a lot of groups on Facebook and a lot of other groups to kind of learn more about scenarios, things that other loan officers deal with. So that way when I become in those scenarios, I'm a lot more, you know, versed on how to handle them, you know. So it's very important to me to kind of, even though I'm not working sometimes, I'm trying to go and learn another aspect so that way, A, I can kind of further my career faster by being able to provide better service to realtors and borrowers.
What do you think? I talked to a couple of people over the last couple of days, and some have been in it for a while. Some have been in it, you know, brand new. A lot of the feedback is that a lot of the buyers coming up now are really, they're well informed. They're doing the research online. They know what questions to ask. They know what they're looking for.
Right.
Things like that. I mean, back, not to say that I'm a 10-year guy. I've been in it 5 years.
Oh, wow.
But it is a little different between the buyers nowadays and the buyers even 5 years ago.
Wow.
What do you think the buyers, how do you think the buyers are,
how do I phrase this? Like more savvy now?
No, not savvy. Knowing that the buyers are coming in a little bit more informed, how are you changing up the way that you're going about the loan?
Well, I mean, to me, it's always about being transparent. You know, one thing I've learned, and I see like a lot of people do it, is that they're just not, they'll try to lie. And you really can't lie in this industry, you know, and if you lie, one lie can get spread to like 10 people, and then your image could be tarnished like for a while. And some people care, some people don't. Some people will get business regardless or not. But to me, I mean, as far as when you have borrowers that now have, can go on Google and Zillow and Realtor.com and get advice, to me as a lender, you need to be like more sharp and be like, oh yeah, I know that, but this isn't, you know, there's a little bit more to it than what you're looking at, because a lot of the times, I mean, we all know in social media and the internet, they're going to give you kind of what you want. And as a buyer, I think a lot of times they don't dig too deep, because in that sense, you're going to start frying your brain, you know? And that's why, I mean, sometimes if I know when I'm going, talking about more than what I should, because my borrowers, their eyes start getting like, oh crap. You know,
yeah, they kind of start getting overwhelmed.
So then I know to kind of tone it down to kind of, okay, like, you know, I can't get too detailed into the transaction, but I get some that are very like, they want to know discount points and they want to know every single fee line by line, which is great. You know, I mean, this is one of your biggest investments. So, you know, you do want to be informed, you know, what's going on. But there's some buyers that just say, hey, you know, let me know where to sign and here's your paperwork and give me my keys.
And move it along.
Yeah, move it along. So, I mean, borrowers nowadays, I mean, with this, you know, what they call millennial generation, I mean, I believe that we do a lot of research. Mm-hmm. You know, I do a lot of research. You know, one thing I laugh at when people on Facebook always ask for, you know, recommendations or things and such, and I'm like, man, just Google it, you know. But I mean, maybe that's just me, you know.
I was on the road, and I was talking to another loan officer. She was in the office and she was going through Facebook or something. I don't know when. And she's like, hey, look at this. And then she read one of those. I'm looking for yada, yada, yada. And I went on this rant about it. Like, why post it and then wait for people to reply when you can just go on there and look? Google it. right? And you get them automatically, and you even get like hyperlinks. Here's a phone number. Here's a website. Go here. Go there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's.
I mean, sometimes I'm like, it's good because sometimes people will tag me as like a referral, or I'll try to tag somebody like that. So I get it, you know. But what are the funny ones is like when people ask for a realtor, and then like next thing you know, it's like 100 comments.
Yeah, 257 comments.
And I'm like, man, I wonder what that person thinks asking for that recommendation, because now. But I mean, hey, it's a sales game. So,
what do you think the worst mortgage guy? If you could get rid of one guideline, one thing that just completely screws with everybody, what would you get rid of?
Man, you know what? Well, I guess you know, being self-employed as well, and then obviously, you know, seeing a lot of business tax returns. I mean, as a business owner, your tax returns usually will be very very, very, I guess, misleading on your actual income, you know, for the most part. And I think, you know, there needs to be, I guess, a change in that. I don't know how, you know, I haven't figured that out yet. So if I do, I'll tell you to invite me back on the show so I can pitch it to the world. But I mean, I just think it's kind of hard. But I mean, there is other bank statement programs and things like that that are available. But again, you know, a lot of those things are very, you know, a lot of people are very shy and scared of them. And I don't blame them, because a lot of those things were reasons, you know, the crash happened. You know, a lot of bank statement programs, stated income, things like that, that I understand were happening before I became in the industry, obviously. Maybe now they'd be more regulated, you know, hopefully. But I mean, I think, you know, because more people are self-employed now. You know, there's more people working from home. I mean, you got people that are Uber drivers, you know, all these types of 1099 employees now that are more driven to being your own boss, you know, and that's, you know, with social media entrepreneurs like Grant Cardone and Gary Vee and a lot of these guys that are really heavily pitching that don't work for corporate America, you're going to start having a lot more borrowers that are going to be more self-employed, that, you know, they're going to have weird income, and you know, the more complicated you make it for them,
It's got to be a little more accessible for them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Through NAREP, they said, I'm going to completely murder this because I don't have it in front of me, but the Latino, the Hispanic culture is the number one demographic to be.
Right.
Entrepreneurship is just in their blood. I think that's the way we were all raised. You know, like, I remember even back to, like, the little things that don't even matter, like, tienditas, you know? It was your grandma's house, but that front bedroom, she sold something out of it and made some money and brought it in. That's what paid for, you know, the gas tank or, you know, whatever the case might be. But it's always been, I remember my dad always used to tell me, you know, do something else. Like, if you're going to have a job, but something else. There's got to be something else out there.
Yeah, you
can't.
Gotta.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
You can't, you know? Man.
And this is, I mean, I think real estate is a great way to kind of go about it.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of outlets where you can venture off into and still be doing what you're doing primarily and still go off.
Loan officer / hookah lounge owner.
Right.
Is there anything else you want to do besides these two?
Well, I used to own a craft beer bar as well. It was called Common Ground, but we sold it back in December. So I have,
and I'll go on record and say that that's one of my favorite spots. One of the best nights in recent memory I had it at at Common Ground. I mean, I
loved the little place because it was a cool little hole in the wall.
Yeah, you know, I like the movies that we used to get played. Yeah, that was
everything. I loved that place, man. Me and my buddy Danny, we put a lot of heart into that place, and you know, he opened up. I don't know if you've ever been to Benny Frank's. Yeah, so he opened up that with some other buddies that we had, and me, I just wanted to focus more on becoming a better lender for now. So I said, you know, the hookah lounges is my baby, you know, so that I didn't want to get rid of. And, we sold Common Ground, and now I'm trying to focus more on this, but, I don't know. I got two concepts I want to do. One is a coffee shop. And another is a breakfast bar.
So breakfast bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, basically just breakfast and lunch and cocktails. And we close by 4:00 in the afternoon.
Okay. Breakfast, lunch, and cocktails.
Yeah. Because a lot of things that there's not a lot of places where you can go drink in the mornings without it being kind of, you know.
without you getting judged.
Right? Oh, man, I'm sounding like an alcoholic here. You know, but I'm just, you know.
We're speaking to the realtor.
Right.
To the realtor audience.
Yeah, I bet they're going to ask, hey, when's it opening?
I know. Yeah. But it's not a bad idea, though. Yeah.
I have it in my head, and I'm piecing it together. So maybe like in 2021, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So I already have it. I already have it playing out.
Like, do you have a name? Do you have an idea for a name?
I kind of do. I don't know if it's cheesy, and that's why I gotta meet with my peeps to see if it's... So right now, it's going to be Berries.
Berries?
Like, yeah, Berries. Like
B-A-R-R-Y-S?
Yeah, because my dog is named Berry.
Okay.
So, you know, and the branding would be like a little French bulldog, because that's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be pet-friendly as well, so okay. That way you could bring your pets. So
okay.
I kind of have it out in my mind. I want to go visit some places and put it together, but I love breakfast, and I feel there's not enough good breakfast places here in town. And all the ones that I've been to, probably all of them, I would think.
Barry, how is Barry? When did you get Barry?
He turns 5 in September. So
5 already?
Yeah. So he's a little old man now.
He is.
Yeah.
But that's dogs are how many in human year? 7?
7.
7 yeah. in 1 year? So yeah.
Yeah. So he's 35. He's going. That's why I'm like, damn, my little man's getting old. He's got like a little gray goatee and everything now, so it's funny.
A little gray goatee.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about NAHRAP. It was here locally. What do you think we are? What do you think we do? And if you are familiar with it, what's good? I mean, obviously we want to hear the good feedback, but what could be better?
Well, I mean, what I like about it, I mean, I went to the event that you guys had, you know, some of the events you guys had. I remember doing the, was it the gala event or was the one, the black and white?
The installation?
Installation, yeah. There you go. That was a really cool event. I liked that you guys had like all those letters lined up out there
mm-hmm.
with the red carpet and all that. Yeah. I really liked the event. That one was really cool. But I mean, all the other events you guys have put on, like the salsa mixer over there at Electric Cactus you guys recently did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just helping out the Hispanic community, I think, is very important. You know, like you said, as Hispanics are becoming predominantly more, you know, common in the United States and as we're growing.
Right.
You know, it's definitely important to serve those markets, you know, and unfortunately, I feel like a lot of Hispanics, you know, they lack education as far as, you know, when it comes to credit and finances and a lot of, you know, real estate, you know, understanding owning a home because, you know, predominantly it's not something you talk about, you know, among Hispanic communities,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing up. I remember being little and, you know, my parents never really talked about credit and a lot of those things that were very important. So, you know, being that NAHRAP turns around and kind of is very involved in the community, I think that helps Hispanic communities be more comfortable in talking about a lot of those topics because, you know, now they're knowing that they're backed by the same type of people, you know, and that's what matters a lot. So
what would make you, I mean, we host a lot of different events. Mm-hmm. We do educational stuff. We did CE courses for agents a couple months ago. We held a course. We do the mixer events. We right. do guest speakers. We've done, you know, a couple different things. What, as a loan officer, and again, NAHRAP serves both, right? Loan officers and realtors.
Right.
As a loan officer, what would make you say, NAHRAP is having an event today. I'm going to, you know, pay the, you know, $25-$35 and go check it out. What type of event would you like to see?
What type of event would I like to see? Well, the funny thing is, like, when it comes to events, I get kind of very, like, theatrical with it. You know, like, I'd like to see a lot of engagement. You know, I think in a lot of events and just in general, there's not enough communicating between people in general. You know, a lot of people hate when you have to, like, you know, beginning of school, when you have to introduce your name and tell them a little bit about yourself. Like, to me, I love doing that because I feel like, you know, being a Hispanic, you want to kind of brag about where you've become, you know.
Right.
I shared a post yesterday on Facebook and it showed a lady's timeline of when she started working at KFC, and then she eventually, you know, throughout the years, you know, became the manager, you know, left that, went to another job to go back to nursing school, and then it became an RN. So, you know, the fact that nobody's ever story is ever one way. It's always going to be a journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think with that, it's very important to help Hispanics understand that, you know, help them understand that that no matter where your journey is now, you might not be there in a while. So,
more interactive.
Yeah, more interactive. Event, that way people understand who the mortgage lenders are, who the real estate agents are, and that way they're able to kind of get more of a feel for who to reach out to in their community. Because again, a home is usually a person's biggest investment. And being their biggest investment, I think if they can be more invested in the people that are helping them achieve that goal, I think it will build for a better community.
Okay. If you tell me something that you know now about mortgage lending that you didn't know when you first started, that would have made it a little bit easier for you, that maybe, I don't know, maybe there's kids out there that are wishing they could be loan officers or hoping to be. What a little piece of advice that you could say if you're brand new to mortgage, even though most will consider you a new loan officer.
Yeah, I know.
As a new loan officer, I wish I knew this.
I don't think there's really much that you can know because I'm still learning. Every day you're going to learn because every loan is going to be different. Every borrower is going to have different needs. Every borrower is going to have different wants. And, sometimes the borrower may not have the down payment money. Sometimes they might, and the thing I can say that I wish I knew in the beginning was just more that to use the online resources. There's a lot of online resources that are out there that can help you advance the learning curve, as far as conditions and underwriting guidelines and, things like that, that I feel that they don't tell you to learn that in the beginning because it's more of a sales game. They want you to make sales, but they don't want to tell you what you need to know in order to make those
sales. In order to make the sales.
Right.
Okay. You're the sitting resident president of the El Paso Hipster Association, right?
According to most people, yes.
According to most people, right? Yeah. What's a hipster? Tell me what a hipster is.
Man, like we talked about this last time. I don't even know what a hipster is nowadays because back in the day, I remember hipster was like a rocker, right? Like it was used to be.
I think you dressed
like a rocker, but you weren't a rocker, or you dressed like tight pants, Because now, rappers could be hipsters too, no?
I don't know. I think.
Like, what is it, skinny jeans, maybe?
Yeah.
Tight shirts?
Like, yeah, so.
I mean, what, you wear black glasses and then you're a hipster?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, I remember just a couple months ago, right? My jeans were a little baggier, right? And I am still the advocate of Tim's. I think Timberlands are very...
Were like Tim's and Anchor Blues or what were
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, well, not Anchor Blues, but that's a little... maybe, I don't know.
A Jinko?
But, and then, so it kind of changed, right? From baggier jeans to a little tighter fit and,
like
whatever.
A 90s Wu-Tang look.
Andale. That's okay. That's kind of where it was, right? And it's, baggy jeans and cholo. And now you kind of go into like a skinny jean and, tennis shoes and whatever. Oh, now you're a hipster. So I don't know. I think hipster is just kind of diluted now. I think anything's hipster.
Right?
I think owning a breakfast bar is a hipster.
Exactly. I mean, I make like avocado toast like every day for breakfast. So, I mean, they call that a hipster breakfast. So I'll take it,
We were at the convention at the Washington, D.C. convention. And Ana Navarro says, do you know how much millennials are paying for toast with aguacate? That's really all it is. Like, yeah, I eat that all the time. It's no big deal.
Right.
But
yeah, some places sell for like $9.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it that much?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's toast and how hard?
Avocados are getting expensive, apparently.
What? You're a global coffee guy. What? Local brand. You're a local brand type of guy.
Yeah, I love local brand. Only because, I know the struggle of opening a local brand, so... I mean, I know the effort and the time and the sacrifices, people put into to making that happen. So
what's your go-to at Global? The Mazapan one,
the
right?
Mazapan. The Mazapan.
What's your other, what's your favorite local restaurant?
Oof, that's tough. If I have to go, I guess Crave. Crave is always going to be my always go-to. I know people have mixed reviews about it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I feel I get better service than most. But the food could be subpar sometimes. But my other two favorites, I would say, are Desert Oak Barbecue.
Desert Oak Barbecue. Is that the one in the Northeast?
No, Northeast. No, it's actually right here in Zaragoza.
Okay.
It's a really good barbecue. They're only open like Wednesdays through Saturdays, and it's still sellout. That Guy Ferrier did he actually stopped there the other day. So the one that, the dine-in that
they're really?
At, yeah.
With the spiky, the blonde hair, mm-hmm. spiky guy?
Yeah,
oh.
So he came to El Paso, and he did a thing on a lot of the businesses locally. And they were one of the ones selected. So if you like barbecue, that's definitely a go-to.
What is it called again?
Desert Oak.
Desert Oak Barbecue.
Yeah. Okay. It's right next to like that where Texas Title's at.
Ah, okay.
Right there. So, and then I'd say Salt and Honey.
Okay.
For breakfast, though. They're pancakes. Man.
So those are your top three.
Yeah.
So your go-to is Salt and Honey or the pancakes?
Uh-huh.
Crave
for breakfast, too, though.
What's your go-to dish at Crave?
For breakfast, the whole hog scramble.
Okay.
With a side of blueberry pancakes. And a coffee. Okay. So they already know my order when I get there. You know,
they have it ready.
They're like, hey, same thing.
They don't even ask.
Yeah, they don't
even
ask.
The usual. I'll take the usual, please.
Yeah, that's why I try to go to other places now so I don't go so often, you know? So it's like, sometimes I'll be like, okay, let's go to the west side and try somewhere else.
What's the last one that you went to? The last new place that you don't think people know about that you liked?
You know what? I've lately been on this this pokey binge. You know, I went to that, I don't know if you pronounce it, Pokey 3, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, man.
I don't even know how you pronounce that word.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got like four locations now, and they've only been open, you know, a very short time, so.
And you like it.
Yeah, it was good. I think, you know what, it's because I recently got braces, and it's been hard for me to eat a lot of the things that I used to eat. Like, I've been wanting to eat a burger so bad, man, and it's hard because I have to cut it up so tiny to stick it in my mouth. So I just don't eat that kind of stuff no more. And even I went to my mom's last night, and she was like, Mijo, you're looking skinny. And then
I've been like, going to the gym, Mom. That's why.
And she's like, are you sure? You know? And she's like, making sure I'm okay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, Mom. Like, you know, it's just the braces. I can't eat like I used to. So I've been eating, I eat a lot of like tropical smoothie shit, things like that. But yeah, man.
What's your go-to for, say you were doing Sunday Funday.
Sunday Funday, man.
What's your go-to?
You know what? I haven't Sunday Funday'd in a while.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because Sundays are like the day that I usually just rest, you know, because I work at the Hookah Lounge still sometimes. So I'm usually there like on Fridays or Saturdays.
Well, let's say you're doing Wacky Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday. What's Friday? Something Friday.
We'll call it Faded Fridays.
Faded Friday, Saturday, whatever. What's your go-to place?
My go-to place. Mm-hmm. Well, lately I've been hanging out at the Benny Franks a lot. The Union is pretty cool. I like both of those spots. If I'm on the west side, I like going to Hope and Anchor a lot. Hope and Anchor is always a cool spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll go into Cincinnati every once in a while, but now I feel like that old guy, you know, so I can't hang out with the young kids like I used to, you know, so it's kind of funny because I remember being that young guy not too long ago. And
looking
now,
at the old guys there?
Yeah.
And now they're looking at you?
Yeah, now I'm like, dang, I'm that guy.
I realized it last Friday, we were out and just the crowd and then the recovery the next day.
Oh, yeah, the recovery now is so
even
different.
Even if you don't go hard, even if it's just a couple,
yeah,
you wake up the next day and it just doesn't feel.
Yeah. And then I'm an early, like, I'm official an old man. Like, I tell people that. Like, I'm up at 7, 6:30, like, and sometimes I'm just sitting there, like, now on my phone or on my laptop, and then, you know, it takes me like an hour to get to the gym. So, I mean, even if I go out drinking and I get home, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm up at 6:30, and I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Let's do this or that. Now that you mentioned the gym.
Okay.
This or that. Gym or nap?
You know what? I'm not a nap guy.
No?
No. I mean, if I have to, and I'll do it. But I'm not a nap guy. Like, I hate taking naps.
During the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, obviously, now that I'm getting older, they're more acceptable. but for now, I'd rather go to the gym. I mean,
mostly, how often do you go to the gym?
Well, see, that's the thing. I'll go like maybe every day, but I don't have very good workouts. Like, I would say I'm not like, you know, I'm not like this fitness person, but I'll go, but mostly so I can eat what I want, you know, so that way if I eat something bad, you know.
You don't feel as bad.
I don't feel as bad. So that way my
weight stays. Because I broke a sweat this morning.
Yeah. Ah,
hey, you know?
It works. Balance.
Okay. Let's imagine you didn't have braces.
Okay.
Okay. Hamburger or pizza?
Man, that's tough. I mean, I could probably eat both. But it depends. Pizza from where and burger from where.
Oh, so it depends from where.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's say, what's your favorite burger place?
Man, that's tough. I would probably say, Steve-O's has a really good burger.
Steve-O's is your favorite burger place?
Yeah.
Okay, and pizza?
I just gotta go with Peter Piper.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Extra sauce, though.
Yes.
Extra sauce.
Okay, so this or that? Steve-O's burger? Any one of the Steve-O's burgers?
Man,
that's... Or Peter Piper pizza?
It depends. Am I trying to be gourmet or I'm trying to just have a good night?
Can you just pick one?
Okay, let's go with Peter Piper.
Peter Piper, yeah, pizza. Okay. Yeah. This or that? Opera or ballet? You got to pick one.
Neither.
You got to pick one.
Opera or ballet?
Have you been to either one?
No.
You've never been to either one?
No.
All right, so this makes it even better. All right.
I guess I would say an opera because I could probably appreciate more like the vocals and the role playing and all that. I mean, I've never been to a ballet, you know, performance or nothing like that, but I would assume that an opera would be more, I'd be more engaged in it.
Well, unfortunately, you just lost all the ballet listeners. So,
forgive me. But you know what? I give them a lot of respect.
If any ballet dancers were looking for a home loan, they're not going to come to you.
Yeah, but I do give them a lot of respect because I've seen like the videos of their feet, you know, them being on their feet. And I'm like, damn, that's a lot of, that's stress. You know, that's a lot of stress on your feet, you know.
Give me your, what's the overrated, underrated thoughts on The Lion King? What do you think? Is there overrated, underrated?
You know what? I haven't seen it.
What do you think? What do you think about the okay. remake?
So I really haven't paid attention to it. I'll be honest with you. But I mean, from what I asked somebody yesterday, and they said that the plot is the same. So that was important to me because they say that if you know a lot of times in a movie they change it, mm-hmm. but they say that the plot was pretty good. But they say that the CGI was kind of delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So like they say like when the mouth's moving on the person, it's not really like the. They said like the vocals were a little bit behind.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. I'm boycotting the new Lion King.
Oh, really? Why?
Yes. Because you can't really mess with the original. So let me tell you, me and my brother, when we were growing up, we would watch that movie.
Right.
Summertime.
Yeah, like, I had the VHS.
Yeah.
That's showing my age.
I know it word for word from beginning of movie to the end of the movie. Even now, the other day I was at my place and it came out. It was like Cartoon Network or something, and it came out, and I'm sitting on the couch. Like, I turned it on, I saw it, I put it on, and the minute it came on, I immediately like got stuck on the TV. I sat down, and I'm singing and talking the movie word for word. So I can't alter those memories. Yeah. Those are no.
You know what? I noticed that I would have wished the theaters would have done is that they would have played the first one first, and then the second one second. Like maybe like a feature where parents could take their kids to see both. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of kids would like the actual cartoon version versus, you know, the animated version.
Versus just the one now.
Yeah, versus the one now. Because that's all they get to go off of.
Look at you. You're like a definition of an entrepreneur right there.
When I think about it.
You're just full of ideas.
I try to be. Some are good, though, and some are really bad. So I don't like to talk about the bad ones, though. Unless you want to know them.
One last question.
All right.
And this is going to be a tell-all for a lot of people. Are you a Beatles man or an Elvis man?
Elvis.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's like, he wanted to be the man.
Okay.
You know, I mean, well, you know what? Let me take that back. No, I'm not going to take it back. I'm going to go ahead and go with Elvis.
You're going to stick with Elvis.
I'm gonna stick with Elvis.
Okay.
Although, I mean, I like being a team player. I don't mind it. I like it. I like to be the guy.
What was the last song that was playing in your car before you pulled into work, before you turned it off?
Let's see. Actually, it was Khalid.
That's what you were listening to before you came in?
It was that.
That gets you amped up? That gets you ready to
attack the day? Not really, but it's a good jam.
Are you an Apple Music or a Spotify, Pandora?
Spotify.
You're Spotify.
Yeah, it's funny because my friend Ray asked me that this morning. He's like, hey, do you have Apple Music?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I use Spotify, you know? And then he sent me a thing to add me to his Apple Music. And I was like, do I owe you anything? And he's like, no, I just have 5 memberships and it's just me. Yeah. Like, here's one for free. You know, you're my boy. I was like, cool. But I don't know. I mean,
have you ever tried
Apple Music? No, is it better?
It's almost like I don't want to come off snobby. I really don't. But it's almost like the thing between Apple the thing between iPhone and Android. That's the best way that I could put it out blown. There.
Now that's
how I put it out there.
Damn, that all makes sense now.
It's just, you know.
And then Spotify is green like an Android message.
You know, it's just no, I mean, Spotify is cool.
I got into Spotify because my cousin had Spotify.
Yeah.
And then we used Spotify at the Hookah Lounge. So that's when we opened up like the commercial account through the Spotify one. And that's how we got that.
Yeah. Like I think we all started out on Pandora.
Yeah.
And then Pandora got, you know, I think my daughter has Spotify and I've tried it a couple of times and then Apple Music came out.
I mean, what does Apple give you more though? Or is it, I mean, to me, it's just music playing in my opinion.
It's basically the same thing.
Okay.
You can do the exact same thing on both. Because I think Spotify, you can do like playlists.
Right. Because I know that like on my TV, I can listen to Spotify. Can I do Apple Music on that? Or do I need an Apple TV?
I think you need an Apple TV.
Ah, here we go.
I know.
So you got to be
snobby. That's where they get us.
Okay.
That's where they get us. You got to have cables and devices and whatever.
And I'm surprised you don't have an Apple Watch.
No, I
Are you boycott that too?
I'm not a hipster like that.
No.
Do you have an Apple Watch?
No.
See, there you go. People need to stop calling us hipsters then.
Right? No.
I think only hipsters have Apple
Watch. My mom has an Apple Watch and I don't even have one.
I had an Apple Watch and to be honest with you, I get enough messages on my phone to have my pocket vibrates enough for my wrist to have to ding and vibrate and look at it. So I got tired of it. Yeah. I gave it to my son.
Oh,
my son has it.
A lucky kid.
He does all right.
He's the one you buy all the sneakers for too, right?
Yes. He just bought, he's going to kill me if I get it wrong. Jordan 12s or Jordan 13? Jordan 12s. Jordan 12 Retro Gamma Blue.
Probably 11s.
11s?
Yeah.
Jordan 11s?
Are they black with like a blue bottom?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, those are the
11s. 11s. So yeah. Jordan 11 Retro Gamma Blue.
Those are nice.
They're like $400.
Dang.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, the kid, he's been working. He got a job.
Yeah,
it's good. Works evenings. He's been saving up his money.
So he's hustling.
He's out there. Yeah. That's good. And he loves it. He loves to work. That's the thing. So, you know, pair of shoes here, pair of shoes there.
You got
to
reward yourself sometimes.
Yeah, he earned them. Give me some parting words. Something you want to leave anybody and everybody listening to this.
Well, like I tell most people, I mean, this life is always what you make of it. You know, no matter what happens, you're going to go through good times, you're going to go through the bad times, and there's going to be times where you may not want to do what you're doing. And in the end, you know, you just have to find it in yourself to just, you know, work hard every day and get up and go. You know, we're all going to face bad times. We're all going to struggle sometimes. And, you know, what you might be going through might be harder than what the person next to you might be going through. And at that point, sometimes you'll be grateful for your hard times because they're not as bad as others. But that's what you just got to keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking. Like Joe Dirt says,
yeah.
Keep on trucking.
See, Joe Jordan ain't no hipster.
You're right. So. No. But by today's standards, he might be.
Yeah, he might be.
You just never know.
You throw a pair of skinny jeans on him, and now he's a hipster. And like some glasses.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no. Anytime. And let us know. Anything coming up? Anything, any new ventures?
Yeah, we'll have to do this again.
Anything at the Hookah Lounge?
We'll do this again in a year.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe sooner.
Yeah, we'll touch base again.
All right.
All right, guys. There you have it. That was Eddie Flores. So
couple quick takeaways. First and foremost, here at the Conversations with Ozzy Chavez, we do not condone smoking. Might hurt Eddie and his business overall, but, you know, it's a personal choice. Desert Oak Barbecue is not in the Northeast. I didn't know that. And actually, ever since I spoke with Eddie, I did go and I tried it and highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Eddie doesn't know how to say realtor, and don't hold it against him because, you know, other than that, he's a really good loan officer. Loan officers apparently don't know everything, according to Eddie. And, you know, why should they? I think you should know your part, too, right? He's an Elvis man as opposed to a Beatles man. And for the record, I am more of a Beatles man, okay? I am a team player like that. And, of course, you know, you got to keep trucking. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, no matter what's coming up, you know, put it in the past and keep on trucking. Thank you to all the realtors, all the loan officers, all the builders that participated in the Festival of Homes survey. Thank you for the feedback. I hope none of you guys got in trouble. I want to thank David, our engineer, for putting all of this together week in and week out. He does an amazing job. If you guys need any help with any audio, let me know. We'll get you guys connected. And thank you guys for, again, listening to our conversation. NAREPconversations@gmail.com. That's the email address that you guys can send in your recommendations, your feedback. If you guys want to participate, send it in there. Let us take a look at it. We'll put it on the calendar, figure out what kind of story you got going on, and get you on it. Check out the social medias, right? My Instagram, my Facebook, all that fun stuff. And I'll give you guys a quick, I'll give you guys a little tip, but there's a video coming with a couple of people around town. That's going to be super fun, super entertaining. Keep an eye out for it. We're going to get you guys more information here in the next couple of weeks. All right. Thank you guys again. And we'll see you next week.